Today's readings are going to be taken from Daniel chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 14, and Sharon's going to read verses 15 to 28. And the chapter 7, if you want to follow in the Pew Bibles, is on page 892 or thereabouts in the Pew Bibles. So Daniel chapter 7. Daniel's dream of four beasts. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch, because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed."
The interpretation of the dream. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The 4 great beasts were 4 kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom, and it will possess it forever, yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the meaning of the 4th beast, which was different from all the others, and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn which came up, before which 3 of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the holy people and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the holy people of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will rise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and the laws. The holy people will be delivered into his hands for a time, times and half a time. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. This is the word of the Lord.
And so in Daniel chapter 4-6, I'm just going to tell you about the 3 beasts. So we have the lion, a bear, and a leopard. And as I say, all of these had additional freaky, weird characteristics. We read of wings, we read of ribs in mouth, 4 heads. But what do these beasts represent? And Daniel tells us later on in these chapters, these beasts represent the kingdoms and the empires that ruled the earth. And so the first beast we read of is a lion. And actually, the lion represented the Babylonian Empire. It fits in well with King Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, I did say that right. With his majesty and authority in his reign in the Empire of Babylon. And then the next beast we read about is a bear, which actually represented the Medo-Persian Empire, which came after the Babylonian Empire. And in this partnership with the Medes and the Persians completely dominated this relationship. And most people think the 3 ribs in the bear's mouth represent their 3 military conquests in Babylon, in Egypt, and in Lydia. And the third beast we read about is a leopard, which did represent the Greek Empire with Alexander the Great. And it's interesting that these leopards had 4 heads, because actually after Alexander's death, his empire was divided among 4 generals. So we have these rather confusing 3 dreams, visions of Daniel represented by 3 empires, the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Greek Empire. But what is so significant is that Daniel had these dreams and these visions, and he wrote them down in King Belshazzar's day, in the days of the Babylonian Empire. And so even being as politically aware and astute as Daniel was, he didn't know that the Medo-Persians and the Greek Empire would follow on. And Daniel could only know this and had this dream revealed to him by supernatural knowledge. Apart from supernatural knowledge, Daniel couldn't have known about the order, the culture, the significance, and the details of each empire. And I think this demonstrates something very, very important about God and his word to us. And it's quite simple, really. And I think we all struggle with it from time to time. But God knows the future. That's it. God knows the future. And I think we all maybe try to predict the future in our own lives. Perhaps you're a bit like me sometimes. You like to have a one-year plan, a three-year plan, a five-year plan. That's wonderful. But God knows the future. But I want you to hear me right here. It is important that we hope, that we have hopes, that we have dreams, that we have ambitions. But who put them in you? Who gave you those dreams? Who sustained you when things were flying high and life is great? And who walks beside you in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trouble? We don't know the future, but God does know the future. And in God's word, there are some things like the succession of these empires that have already been fulfilled, prophecies that have already happened. But there are some things in God's word that we know have yet to be fulfilled. We have an understanding from God's word, the Bible, about the future. But we don't know everything, do we? We don't have all the specific details. But however, it is so important and crucial to our lives to remember that just as God has a plan for towns, for empires, for nations, he also has a plan and a future for your life as an individual. Don't ever miss that. Don't ever miss that. When we read and we pray into God's big picture, it should lead us to pray into our picture. How do we fit into that? How is God calling me as an individual? And perhaps in this world, more so than ever, it's easy to feel that we're just a number, we're just part of a group. We just blend into the background. It shouldn't be like that. God has a unique love and a care and a plan for every individual life. But I just want to go back now to this fourth beast. Verses 7 to 9, it reads, "After that, in my vision at night, I looked and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the other former beasts, and it had 10 horns." Again, it's a weird, freaky picture. And Daniel spoke of this fourth beast, and it was different. His dominion was mightier. His hands were stronger. His reign was greater than any of the beasts. And actually, this fourth description of the beast fits in well with the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire commanded and dominated for about 1,000 years. And in verse 8, we read of a little horn. It had eyes of a human, and it spoke boastfully. So we have this strange combination of a fearful beast and a horn that seems to represent something on it. We have all these things that go before it. And then we read verses 9 to 10. "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. He had the hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." And so we see God intervening. The Ancient of Days, the one who is everlasting, the one with no beginning and no end, he encompasses all of eternity. And so thousands upon thousands attended him, gathered before the throne of God. And one thing that we do read about is that we know we will all stand before the throne of God one day, before the one who judges us. And so from these visions of Daniel, we see man having his day through all these empires. And then we read about the end of all things. And we see God having his time at the judgment of all the world. But as we read on, it's almost like Daniel is asking a question. Well, how did we get here? How did we get from the days of man to the end of all things? And verses 13 and 14 reveals a kind of answer to that. It says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples worshipped him, nations and men of every language. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And so God reveals to Daniel that he is going to send the Son of Man which we know is Jesus, to hold dominion over all things. And so Jesus is the one that comes on the clouds of heaven to set all things right. He is the Son of Man. That is Jesus. And so we read that Daniel was troubled in spirit. We don't know why he was troubled in spirit. Maybe he was troubled in spirit by what humanity would have to endure before the coming of Jesus. But maybe he was troubled in spirit because he believed this was true. He believed that actually all of humanity would have to stand before God. And if we take that thought seriously, it's a very sobering thought. It's a thought that reminds us that if we're going to stand before the throne of God, we need to be ready for it. We need to be prepared for it. But the wonderful thing, the thing that gives us hope, is that Jesus, the Son of Man, has made the provision for us to be prepared on that day of judgment. He knows that all humanity will be guilty, and so he takes our guilt. He knows all humanity will be under judgment, and so he takes our judgment. That's what he did for us on the cross, his sacrificial love given to all people. He will come a second time in judgment, but he came the first time so that we can be right with God. He came to put all the guilt, shame, judgment, fear upon himself. He came the first time so that we can be ready the second time. He came the first time so we can be ready the second time. And so that's the message of hope, of Daniel's vision, that we can take away from this chapter. And so God doesn't have a plan for just empires and kingdoms. He sees you. He has a plan for your life. He looks at you as a unique individual of infinite worth. He walks beside you. So as we go through life with our hopes, with our dreams, with our ambitions, even with our fears, even with our worries, let's not miss out on God's activity in our lives. Let's seek it. Let's obey it. Let's journey with it. And let's see the wonders of what it can do. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for this Old Testament reading. Thank you that it points to you. Thank you that the Son of Man has an individual care and concern and plan for our lives. And Lord, as we gather in a church, as we come together for gathered worship, and Lord, help us not to forget that as we leave from here, as we go, as we scatter into our individual lives, help us to be aware, help us to seek your activity in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the message of Daniel. We thank you for the hope that it can bring to our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you ultimately for Jesus, how he came that first time so that we can be ready the second time. So, Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to seek you. and help us to live your calling day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Victoria. As the music group comes, we're going to